Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, text number 47. Can repeat. And of all yogis, he, the one with great faith, who always abides in me, thinks of me within himself, and renders transcendental love and service to me, is the most intimately united with me in yoga, and is the highest of all. That is my opinion. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The word bhajate is significant here. Bhajate has its root in the word bhaj, which is used when there is need of service. The English word worship cannot be used in the same sense as bhaj. Worship means to adore or to show respect and honor to a worthy one. But service with love and faith is especially meant for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One can avoid worshiping a respectable man or a demigod and may be called discourteous, but one cannot avoid serving the Supreme Lord without being thoroughly condemned. Every living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus every living entity is intended to serve the Supreme Lord by his own constitution. Failing to do so, he falls down, and the Bhagavatam confirms this as follows. Ya esham purusham sakshat atma prabhavan ishvaram na bhajat ya vajananti stanad brashta yatpatantyada. Anyone who does not render service and neglects his duty unto the primeval Lord, who is the source of all living entities, will certainly fall down from his constitutional position. So, Om Agyana Timirandasya Ginanjana Shalakaya Chakuni Militanina Tasmai Shri Gadarayana. I was born in darkest ignorance. My eyes shut, but the spiritual master has opened my eyes as a torchlight of knowledge. Offer respects to him. We'll take this long purport because it summarizes the whole chapter. And in the next, it's the end of the first six chapters. The next seven chapters where Krishna really starts to talk about himself. Here's the first time he starts to mention himself. So you ask about Ashtanga Yoga. That means the eight steps of yoga. So that's yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dhyana, and then samadhi. So nowadays there's one they call Ashtanga Yoga, but it's just a particular school of asanas. They may have some meditation, they do have philosophy, but they're mainly concerned with asana. It's not exactly Ashtanga. Ashtanga means the whole eight steps, and people may be anywhere along. And bhakti is the when one really, samadhi means really fixed mind, totally absorbed. And it all really means bhakti, means devotional service to Krishna. Asana is one stage. But we have to always have yama and niyama. Yama and niyama means things to do and things not to do. And they're quite similar to the Ten Commandments in the Bible. There's five things you should do and five things you shouldn't do. You shouldn't steal. You should follow marriage rules and, honesty. You should study the scripture. You should practice austerity. I can't remember all of them. There's a lot you can look on the internet under yama niyama. There's many different listings of it from different yoga societies. They have to be there. No matter what other section of yoga we're doing, if there's not proper yama and niyama, then, you know, it's no good. Like, now some people are promoting, well, many promote yoga for weight loss, or yoga for sex, or yoga for making more money in your business. You know, different. And you can use asana yoga and pranayama to make your body stronger. But then if you do that and try to use that benefit for sense gratification, then it's very bad. But the real goal is loving devotional service to Krishna, not just worship. People worship all kinds of living entities, or even, you know, animals. They worship all kinds of things. They offer. Prabhupada told us how in the war in India, in World War II, one businessman became very rich because of the war. He had a big rice, you know, stock or something. So in wartime, if you have a big stock of grains, you can charge any price. You know, when people get hungry, they'll give their gold and jewels and whatever they have, they'll give for food. So he was worshiping Hitler. He had an altar and he was offering food to Hitler, because the Germans had made the war, and then, you know, he was getting rich. People, I was distributing books in Memphis, Tennessee. You heard of that? Memphis? And what is Memphis famous for? Huh? Huh?
The Elvis Presley.
That's right. It's Elvis' home. And so his house is there, and so many tourists come. It's the second biggest tourist thing in America.
Yeah.
Huge. After Disney World. You can imagine that. You know? Mm-hmm. Lines of people waiting all day, paying $10 to go in the house. And the street is called Elvis Presley Boulevard. And all the shops are selling souvenirs. Elvis Presley coffee cups and Elvis Presley pictures and tours and, you know, everything. So I was there distributing books in the airport, and one old couple, they were not young at all, and she was telling me how she had spent $3,000 on Elvis memorabilia, memorabilia. She had gone, you know, to the Sun Records studio and got some outtakes, you know, when Elvis cursed or something, and she went to the karate school and the house of his birth, and she told me she had an Elvis room in her house. You know, with the jukebox that played Elvis Presley songs 24 hours a day, and nothing but, you know, temple room. Pictures of Elvis everywhere, and burning candles. And so they worship many people. I mean, that's just one person. On his birthday, thousands of people come from all over the world. So actually in America, you know, I'm sure many more people have heard of Elvis than Krishna, because it gives them sense gratification, enlivens their senses. So they can worship any kind of person, but loving service is really meant bhaja in Sanskrit. They translate worship, but it's more than that, especially for Krishna, because he's the Supreme Lord, and whatever opulence and attractiveness that any other living entity has, it's given by Krishna. And Krishna said even the most wonderful things in the universe are just a spark of his splendor. So then the bhajati is bhajanti. Bhajanti is applicable to the Supreme Lord, whereas the word worship cannot. So the word abhajananti is also found in the Bhagavad Gita, abhajananti mamuha. Fools and rascals think they doubt, they degrade the Supreme Lord, they don't understand who he is. So people write about Bhagavad Gita. So the Krishna says, thinking of me, worshipping me. Krishna says, become my devotee, think of me, offer respects to me. Another part of Bhagavad Gita also. The culmination of all kinds of yoga practice lies in bhakti yoga. All other kinds of yogas are means to come to the point of bhakti in bhakti yoga. Yoga actually means bhakti because it means linking with Krishna. So if one is practicing any other stage of the Ashtanga Yoga with the idea that this is a part, we're on the going to Krishna, then that's fine. If they think that perfecting the asana is the goal of life and there's nothing more to them than that, then that's foolish, because it's not the perfection. They might become very powerful, and they might become, you know, able to be buried underground for a month, a year, you know, things like that. Yogis do things like that, but they're not trying to get to Krishna. They're trying to be worshipped and honored. So there's a difference of consciousness. What you're doing is another thing, but the consciousness that we do it in. From the beginning of karma yoga to the end of bhakti is a long way to self-realization. Karma without further results is the beginning. Then it increases in knowledge and renunciation to the stage of jnana. Then jnana, that's knowledge, increases in meditation on the supersoul. And the mind is on Krishna. That is called Ashtanga. And when one surpasses the Ashtanga and comes to the point of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna is called Bhakti Yoga, the culmination. Factually, Bhakti Yoga is the ultimate goal, but to analyze Bhakti Yoga minutely, one has to understand these other yogas. The yogi who is progressive is therefore on the true path of eternal good fortune. One who sticks to the particular point and does not make further progress is called by that particular name karma yogi, jnana yogi, or dana yogi, raja yogi, hatha yogi, etc. When one is fortunate enough to come to the point of bhakti yoga, it is to be understood that he has surpassed all the other yogas. Therefore, to become Krishna conscious is the highest stage of yoga. Just as when one, we speak of the Himalaya mountains, we refer to the world's highest mountain, of which the highest peak, Mount Everest, is considered to be the culmination. So that's, a devotee should not be proud when he hears these things and think, well, I'm better than everyone else because I'm a, you know, I know Krishna. Because the more we know Krishna, we really should become more humble, because we realize more and more how big Krishna is, how great Krishna is, and how small we are. It's different. Most of the other yoga are trying to become great, trying to know everything, trying to become Siddha yoga. They want to get mystic powers. They want to be able to manipulate the material energy, you know, fly, and do all kinds of things. But the devotee just wants to become a humble servant of Krishna. He's not looking for any fame and fortune and recognition. And it may sound very simple to people that don't know, but it's like to get to the top of Mount Everest. We can go climb some little hill in northern England or something quite easily. But Mount Everest, you know, requires a long preparation before they can even start. People have to go ahead and make camps and put food, and they have to have so much equipment and training and conditioning, and right? And then you have to time it exactly right. And still, I think something like 10% of the people who attempt Mount Everest actually get to the top. They get very sick because of the, you know, no air. The sometimes the weather becomes so bad you can't move, and you're going to have to wait another year before you can do it. They have to sit inside the tent for a month sometimes with the blizzard outside. Can't even go out because of the wind and ice. So also, Krishna says, manushyanam sahasreshu kasya yadati sidaye yatatam api sidanam kasya mam beti tatkata. Out of many thousands of men, human beings, only one will have any kind of an interest in spiritual pursuits. And out of many thousands of those, only one will actually attain Krishna. So people try, sometimes they don't try hard enough, so they give up, you know, whatever reason. Of course, whatever progress we make towards Krishna is never lost. And when we again try, even in the next life, we can pick up right where we left off. That is the special mercy of Krishna. In other yoga, if someone starts, and even if they become very powerful siddha, but if they make some mistake, they may lose everything and have to start over from the beginning. But in bhakti yoga, we can pick up wherever we left off. So it is very fortunate when one comes to Krishna consciousness on the path of bhakti. It's a special mercy of Krishna. The devotee sees it like that. He doesn't think, well, I'm so great. He thinks Krishna is so kind. The idea of yogi concentrates his attention on Krishna, who is called Shamsundar, who is as beautifully colored as a cloud, whose lotus-like face is as effulgent as the sun, whose dress is brilliant with jewels, and whose body is flower garlanded, illuminated on all sides, is his glorious luster, which is called the Brahman Jyoti. He incarnates in different forms, such as Rama and Sringa, Varaha and Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he descends like a human being, as the son of Mother Yashoda, and he is known as Krishna, Govinda, and Vasudev. He is the perfect child, husband, friend, and master, and he is full of all opulences and transcendental qualities. If one remains fully conscious of these features of the Lord, called the highest yogi. So Krishna receives a person. Bhakti yoga is personal. It's not just becoming a slave of God, but becoming a lover, a friend, whatever one likes, and Krishna becomes the perfect object of our love. Yeah. Because everyone wants to be loved, everyone wants to give love, everyone needs love, right? Remember the Jefferson Airplane? And don't you want somebody to love? Don't you need somebody to love? Didn't you love somebody to love? You better find somebody to love. But people, we do want, we need. Babies sometimes die of not being loved. They just, nobody's giving them any love. They don't eat. They don't have any interest in living. Now, you know, these incubator babies, premature babies, they used to... Now they reach in and massage them and hold them and rub them. But before they were thinking, you know, put them in the incubator and just get the right temperature and all these things. But they found they weren't growing very good. And then one nurse, just an ordinary nurse, she said, them babies ain't getting no love. And they started experimenting and found that when they take them out and they hold them and let the mother come. They have to keep them most of the time because of the environment, but well, they just almost barely touch them, but then they develop much better. Everybody needs love, an animal, a plant. You know, some people, they say, have a green thumb. They love their garden. They make everything grow like anything. You know, if you don't care about it, you can pour the water, but then the plants die. They're living entities. They know. An animal. Some people can train an animal to do anything without even just, right? Because they love that animal and they really pay attention to it. The ones who try to train them by beating them and forcing them and threatening them, they do a few things, but it's not the same. One man, he really loved horses, and he could take a completely wild horse and just by talking to it in a half hour, anyone could ride that horse. He loved them. He learned how to talk to them. So that Krishna loves everyone, and he wants our love. He doesn't need anything, but some people think, well, why should I give God? He's already got everything, you know. I need it, right? He should give to me. Many people think, well, God should give to me. Come on, he's got everything already. I need it. I'm poor. Why are you poor? That? Because you never give anything to Krishna. So, Krishna is loving. You know, people say God is love. I don't know exactly. But Krishna definitely is full of love. And if we don't want to love anyone and we don't want to be loved, then, you know, we're running away from Krishna. If we're running away from God and Krishna, then we won't find any love. We'll just find frustration. Because no one can really reciprocate the love that everyone has to give except Krishna. And when we start to give our love to Krishna and serve Krishna, then Krishna reciprocates and we make connection with Krishna, and then we establish more and more that connection and service, and then come to the highest point. And that's just natural. Everybody needs love. Every movie is about love, isn't it? Practically every book, every song, right? If few were about hate, I guess some of these rap songs are, you know, because those are people that never got any love, and then they start to hate everything. But when you hate, if you're with people that you hate and hate you, will you be happy? If you're with people you love and they love you, will you be happy? That's what everybody wants, right? So we like to be with our family and our friends or our club, or, you know, especially the family, usually most people, because that's where more love is supposed to be. So if you're a real devotee of Krishna, and you really develop love for Krishna, then you will love everyone. And then no matter where we are and who we're with, we'll be very happy because we love everyone. And when you really love everyone, they'll love you also. Except for really big demon may not love a devotee. But generally everyone loves a pure devotee. Because they love them. And Krishna in the heart like arranges things. Haridas Thakur, a great devotee, he was living in a cave. And inside that cave there was a terrible big snake. And it had even bad smelling breath or something. And Haridas was always chanting, he didn't really notice the snake. But the people, they wanted to come and honor Haridas Thakur because he was a great devotee. But they were afraid of that snake. So they were having a difficulty. So they told Haridas, you know, that because of that snake, people were afraid to come. They wanted to come. So Haridas said, all right, I'll move. But then the snake moved. And they said that Krishna in the heart, that snake, he didn't want to make trouble for Haridas Thakur, so he moved out. So if we work on this, everybody has love, and they have love to give, and we're all frustrated, you know, because we can't find the proper object of the love, or we thought we found the proper object, but they didn't care about us. Or, you know, you love your... And if you just love your cigarettes or your whiskey or your car, then you're really going to be frustrated. People, that's why so many people, they get a dog, you know, because dogs, they reciprocate the love very nicely. And humans, are very difficult to deal with humans. They can get angry at the slightest thing. You know, you love them, and you're trying, and they don't like what you do, and they hate you for it. And, you know, people have... So that's... Many become Mayavadis. They become voidists because they realize they've had this experience that, you know, trying to have relationships in the material world, they don't realize that it's because they're having these relationships independently of Krishna that they can never work properly, fully. It may be nice for some time, but it never be completely satisfying until we put the Supreme Lord in the middle. So we're seeking the highest yoga. And it's like if you're climbing a big mountain, sometimes you go down. The trail goes down. Then you go up. And also I was climbing, it wasn't really a big mountain, but we were in Indonesia and there was a mountain across the street from the temple. And they said there's an old Hindu temple on top of that mountain. So I said, okay, let's go up there. So we were walking up, and so many times I'm looking maybe 10 yards up, but oh, that's the top, you know. Couldn't see anything else except that. Oh, then there's another one. Then you start to think, we're never going to get to the top, you know. And then somehow, all of a sudden, you're at the top. But, you know, look, it seems like you're going to be there many, many times. Sometimes the trail goes down for a while. Sometimes it's very steep. Sometimes it's easy. When you're going up Mount Everest, it gets really hard. But at the end, it's not very much climbing, but I heard that there's no air, you know, and people are in gas masks, and it's all ice, and they can't see. They've gone practically blind because of the altitude, you know. But they keep trying. They want to go there, you know, so they can say they went there. Otherwise, there's no reason. If you get to Krishna, there'll be difficulties along the way. The mind will attack us, and, you know, the body, and it'll seem like we're never going to make it. You know, so many times we'll think, I've got it, and we find out, well, we don't really have it. You know, but I'm getting there. We have to always have faith in getting there. Just keep going. Many people have been there already. They've gone all the way. They're fully connected with Krishna. And they're teaching us how to do that. So we should work on that. So that highest perfection in yoga is attained only by bhakti, as is confirmed in the Vedic literature. Yasya deve para bhaktir yata deve tata guru tasyaite katita yarta prakashante mahatmanaha. This one is often quoted. Only those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of the Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. Svetashvara Upanishad. Faith is very important. If you realize this is going to work. We've seen so many people do it before, and if we just keep going, we'll get Krishna. If there's no faith, if we're just mechanically going along, we're not going to get there. And then the more we do that, we think, oh, it doesn't work. It doesn't work because we're not doing it properly. If you have the anchor down, it's very hard to move the boat, right? Anybody been in a boat?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you leave the anchor down, it's very hard to move. You know? Or if you get, I don't know if that happens here. When I grew up in America, in a place where it snowed a lot in the winter, it was really cold. So many times the car, you know, the wheels just spin. No matter what, you know, the more you spin them, the worse it gets. Until finally, if you're stupid and keep trying, you just burn up your transmission and burn your tires. You know, you have to get out, you have to push it, or get a tow truck or something, otherwise you're not going to move. You need help. So if we're just spinning our wheels, you know, and thinking, well, I'll just do this for a while, but actually, you know, I probably need to get rich, and I need, you know, some other kind of sense gratification. We won't get Krishna. And then people start to think, well, it doesn't work. If one has faith, the scripture, the guru, the acharyas, and Krishna, then it works. Bhaktir asya bhajanam tad ihamu chapati. Sorry, I can't say it. Bhakti means devotional service to the Lord, which is free from desire for material profit, either in this life or the next. See, many people worship demigods, but they want something. They want to get rich. They pray, actually. If you're Hindu, you know this. Janam Dehi, Rupam Dehi, Yasho Dehi. That means, give me money. Give me beauty, give me fame. And pray like that. And if you go to any church or temple, mosque, if you could read minds, you'd hear a lot of that, right? In different languages, right? oh Lord, you know, I'm giving you $1, but £1, but I know you can give me back $100, you know, so, and then I'll serve you, I'll give you more. If you give me this, I'll give you 10%, you know. If we're trying to make deals with God. But he's much more clever, so it doesn't work. So we need to know what we're doing on the path, because other people, you know, different doubts arise. So we need a guru. We need to know how to handle the emergencies. That's what the guru and shastra teaches. Like back to driving on ice. Sometimes, you know, the ice on the road would just become like, you can't really see it, but it's completely slippery. So you're driving along, and then there's something in front of you, you put on the brake, nothing happens. Nothing. Turn the wheel, nothing happens. And then you have to know what to do. There's all kinds of things you can do to make it work, but now they have, if you have a BMW car, it'll automatically do all those things. Computer, but before we had to know what we're doing.
Yeah.
And if you didn't know what you're doing, you know, and then it, you know, you have to prepare. You have to have chains, and you have to have, you know, a battery cable, so when the car's too cold, you can get it started. And so many things, you know. And that's just a simple thing in the material world. If you want to get, you know, somewhere in London, like a taxi driver in London, they say they have bigger brains because they've memorized so much. They have to memorize the entire city of London so they can find any given address without a map. Right? Now you get a navigator in your car and, you know, turn left at the next corner, you know, go right at the roundabout, and then you just tell it where you want to go, you know. But that's the map. You need help. Not very many people have memorized the entire city of London. I heard it takes those guys 5 years, you know, before they can get their license. So the spiritual master is empowered by Krishna, and he knows how to help us, you know, read the map, know where to go. The map is, we have a boat, the human body, the ocean, to get across the ocean of nations for Krishna. And the wind is the Vedic literature and the instructions. Spiritual master is the captain of the ship. Because if you get on the ship in the ocean, you know, you don't know which way is anything, right? You don't know which, how are you going to find New York City if you take off from London in a boat? You know, well, I think it's this way, you know. You might end up anywhere. You know. The captain, they can read the stars. Different civilizations have different ways of knowing, you know, which direction is what. And they can find their way. But for us, you know, if you don't know, they need a captain to guide the boat. Then they know which way they're going. So we need the guru, and we need the Vedic literature, we need the human body, valuable. The human body has the ability to inquire about God and get out. So it's almost time for prasad. I see anybody coming in and out with all this. Goodies?
Yes.
Ekadasi today. Ekadasi is a day when devotees don't eat any greens. And many fast even more than that. But the main thing is to chant more. Whatever devotional service you do in Ekadasi has more good effect than other days. That's why many fast so they can chant more, you know, read more, do some more service. Because it's a more auspicious day. And taking prasadam is also service. But if you try to eat more prasadam, then you might fall asleep or get sick. So it's better not to try to eat more prasadam, but eat only prasadam and try to chant more. All right? So Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Any one question? Yeah.
I don't know if it's in purport and actual birth. And we were talking about
serving Krishna, the numerous different types of yoga, being from karma to bhakti yoga.
Yeah.
And it says according, so we serve according to our each individual constitution. And it obviously everybody's constitution is different. But the key question is, you approach spiritual master, can you approach spiritual master, take initiation, and then still serve Krishna according to your own constitution, which might be just at the beginning stage of karma?
Well, the constitution is service. How you serve Krishna, in the beginning, the spiritual master guide you one way or another, and you use your different material propensities generally, you know, offer them to Krishna, and ultimately come to the point of only wanting to serve Krishna. We're not so fussy exactly what service we do. We get to unconditional service. We just do whatever Krishna wants. Your constitution, your spiritual constitution just means service to Krishna. That may be another material deal, but real constitution is spiritual. Constitutional, your conditional is according to your varna and ashram and you know your mentality and all these different things. Alright? Hare Krishna. So Jivara Swarupoi Nichara Krishna Das. Everyone is a servant of Krishna by nature. And so that's what we want to develop is a service attitude. And then Krishna engages us in, when a devotee is completely pure, then he's happy serving Krishna. He doesn't care what service is, you know. The cows are happy, the trees, the birds, everyone in the spiritual world is completely happy offering that to Krishna. For the pleasure of Krishna. Fully satisfied. In the material world, as I said in the beginning, you know, if we just move in the ashram or something, it's like the army, you just do whatever you're told. But then, if someone's a carpenter, we'll probably engage them in carpentry work. If someone's an artist, you know, an artist came, probably immediately told them, paint this picture of Krishna, you know. If someone's very puffed up about their material, you know, so-called position and status, Krishna may have them do something else, you know. If they're so proud, well, I have all this education and I'm such a great singer, you know, and everybody should be, you know, honoring me for my great education, and Krishna may say, you know, go clean out the garbage heap or something. And if someone's really sincere, they will. They'll be happy to do that. Like one of the best artists we had in the early days, he was driving the van for the devotees. And one day he was sitting there waiting and he was drawing something. And the devotee said, wow. He said, oh yeah, you know. And then, you know, they engaged him in the art department and he was just in so many of these paintings that in the books he did. But he didn't think it was anything special. But some came, I'm a great artist, you know, but they could never really do Krishna, you know. Always something weird, you know. So, humility is the real constitution of the soul, the most important. All right, thank you very much. Our Jnanananda Goswami will be here this evening giving class at 6 o'clock. He's one of the first devotees to join here in Soho, in Bury Place, yeah. You know, one of the originals. If you want to know what it was like in those days, it's interesting. Okay. Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.